Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Remember drinking coffee at midnight in college because you had to do something really important for class last minute? If I did that now, my stomach would literally explode.
And your head. I recognized like 5 bands on the Coachella lineup this year, and I'm pretty sure the rest of them were AI.
You might be right. My neighborhood tamale lady came by today, seconds, mere seconds after I finished kind of gross leftovers for breakfast. I could have just waited 5 more minutes for her, but no, I had to ruin everything.
Ah, tamale lady. That feeling when your banana doesn't crack open like it should and you get irrationally annoyed with the universe.
Yeah, bananas are tricky. Have such a good day. Hello world, welcome back to Have Such a Good Day.
The show that wants you to do just that. Oh my god, my voice is horrible.
My voice is perfect, Heather. Whatever do you mean?
Welcome to the show. The show that wants you to have such a good day or go home.
Yes. Go have such a good day or get the F out of my house. We like to call this show a cornucopia of life lessons.
Life lessons, whatnot, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, small talk, big talk, and all the talks in between.
That's true.
Maybe a little bit of like cheap therapy, if you will.
Absurdity of life, which we
absurdity
all have.
Absurdity of life.
You know, why
always
not celebrate it a little bit?
Every day. I mean, is there a day that goes by, Sarah, that there isn't something slightly absurd that happens?
Not in my world.
I mean, maybe there's a day, but like mostly I would say every single week something kind of absurd happens and you just have to laugh at it. Mm-hmm. That's just being human, I think.
Indeed.
But seriously, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you. Episode 234, which isn't a palindrome, but kind of feels good.
It's very soothing.
It just has a good feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like things are going according to plan. They have a sequence that makes sense.
Not like when you crack open a banana and it doesn't open properly for you.
Oh, Heather.
That makes me feel like things aren't going quite like I have planned.
I don't remember at what point I learned this. It was probably like a Food Network show or something. But the trick is to open it from the bottom rather than where the banana is bunched together at the top.
Yeah, so the thing is about that, I actually didn't really know this, or maybe I knew it at one point and then forgot it. But yeah, you kind of have to open a banana like you got to watch a monkey do it. I mean, monkeys know how to open a banana. If anybody knows how to open a banana, a monkey does, right?
One would think, yes.
So yeah, they actually, there is a proper way, and they open them from the bottom, and apparently, according to the internet, and yes, there's a Reddit on how to open a banana properly, naturally.
Of course.
But you want to make sure that the banana is actually smiling or making a U shape, like instead of frowning, you don't want it to be making an upside down U shape. And if it's pointing in the wrong direction, it'll be hard to snap open.
Oh.
And I'm like, interesting. Like, I've never in my life, as long as I've been on the internet, alive and on the internet, I never knew this fun fact, making it a smile.
I don't understand why, especially when we're talking about, you know, primates with opposable thumbs and humans. You know, I don't know if other animals are opening bananas, probably, but, you know, let's just stick with us and the monkeys. Why that would matter?
I don't know either. I think the way maybe it depends on if you're right-handed or left-handed, and maybe it's that like the angle you're at, maybe. I'm not really sure, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I opened a banana this morning because I put it in a smoothie, and I don't remember. I think I opened it from the bottom. I sometimes don't. I just go like, eh, I don't care if it like gets crazy because it's just going to get, you know, blended up anyway in a smoothie.
Uh-huh.
But there are other times where it does really matter to me.
It does. Well, it makes me feel sort of like I have failed, you know? it's like, because when it doesn't open right, it kind of cracks in this weird way. And it's kind of hard. You have to like put your fingers in it and it's all messy. And it's just a whole thing. So it sort of, you start your day off on sort of the wrong foot. But yeah, it made me think of monkeys. And then the second I was researching this about monkeys and bananas, the director of the movie that I worked with on posted something on Instagram to promote the movie. They had an opportunity. They screened the film for a bunch of bonobos. They were apes, and it was in Des Moines, Iowa. So they literally have like video of like apes watching the movie. And apparently they gave it 2 opposable thumbs up. So I thought that was kind of funny. Kind of a great PR stunt, I guess, or maybe just a marketing, creative marketing. But yeah, monkeys all around, Sarah.
I like it. Besides the really, really aggressive monkeys in both Indonesia and India that I experienced. I mean, there are monkeys in other places too, but when I was on Bali, there was like a monkey forest and it was like, they're just trying to steal your purses. I mean, it's like really aggressive. And then in India, it was even worse. And certain parts of India. And really, like they were like gangs and they're my size, if not bigger.
I've heard about this.
And like not fun at all. Like you're like afraid of them and they like live on the roof, you know, and
they're opportunists.
Well, and they're, you know, they're stronger than me.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, I'm sort of like, I mean, so is a horse, but horses don't, I've never been charged by a horse.
Would they bite you or like nip at you?
No, it was like they wanted to steal your food or steal
your purse
or just otherwise, you know, aggressively get all up in your grill. There was a town that I stayed in Rajasthan, which is kind of a deserty western part of India, really beautiful and small town. And everything was kind of built up on a hillside. And so the place I was staying in was super not fancy. But that, like, everyone would kind of like people who lived there and just sort of everybody would sort of like go up to the roof because all the roofs were flat, you know, and like, you know, you'd see boys playing cricket, you know, up on the roof and people having meals and, you know, women drying the laundry, you know, and like lots of things happened on roofs. So that was really fun. But there was also gangs of monkeys and you'd like see them coming or you'd see them like all in a row, like on like the roof directly like across from you, just like watching you eat breakfast. And you're like, maybe we should go back downstairs.
It is a little daunting. I'm sorry, but it does remind me of that famous scene in The Omen, the original Omen, where the devil kid goes to the zoo and all the monkeys like feel his like evil vibes and they all like run and attack the car. It's actually like quite a harrowing scene.
I don't remember that, but I haven't seen the original Omen in, oh gosh, I don't even know. I mean,
it is a great movie. I'm not joking. Like, despite it being a horror movie, I think it is literally a good movie. In fact, there's actually a new Omen coming out. It's supposed to be pretty decent. Usually these kind of like remakes or sequels
are just, they're kind of like box office grabs. There was one, because I saw it, where Julia Stiles was the mother. So this would have been probably about 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't that great of a movie, but it was still, you know, it's a creepy movie, you know?
It's so creepy. This one's from 76. And I literally, Gregory Peck, I think is the The most wonderful.
The bee's knees.
Oh, he is the bee's. I would not kick him out of bed for eating crackers. Even when he's at, I mean, he's fairly old in this movie, but it is genuinely one of the creepiest horror movies ever made.
I should watch it again. Believe. Yeah.
You should.
Yeah.
It's a solid flick.
It's good stuff.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, sugarcoat it. You're probably gonna be a little scared, but I would say it's not. There's a few spooky scenes, but
I don't remember it being very scary. It was definitely, you know, it was like, well, I don't know, you know, anything.
Can you watch it? I want to hear what you have to say. I really like it when you watch a movie that really pushes the envelope for you. Like when you watch Midsommar and like you hated it so much, but you had so much to say about it. Like I would just love, because you don't like horror movies.
Like, yeah, I mean, there are a few exceptions where I find them enjoyable, but in general, it's a genre that I just stay away from.
You just kind of bypass. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, it's mostly because, you know, I won't get into it because it's like, what's the point of telling somebody a horrible nightmare that, you know, I could pass on to them. But I did have a nightmare last night. And, you know, sometimes you have a dream where you wake up and you go like, oh, that was so stressful, or that was so perplexing, or, you know, I feel sort of like exhausted because of the dream, but it's not scary. It's not a nightmare.
Yeah.
This was a legit nightmare, you know, where I was like, you know, somebody was trying to kill me. In fact, if I tried to recall it, the details have faded already, because this is, you know, I woke up hours ago. But like that kind of thing sometimes happens to me after I watch a scary movie that I really think is scary. Like The Ring, you know, like that was really scary.
That was really scary.
Yeah. And, I even though it's like it's thrilling on one hand, I'm just like it gets into my, you know, subconscious and it's going to come out later. And I don't need that when I'm sleeping.
Totally. You know what's really funny? I don't mean to laugh because The Ring is not funny, but there's a woman who walks her dog on our street. So this is an inside joke with Elijah and I. And she has really long gray hair. And every time we drive down, she's always walking her dog, but she always has her back turned to whatever way you're driving. She doesn't like to look at people. And her hair, it's like so long. We always joke. We're like, there's the ring.
Yeah. She's all grown up now, everybody.
Walking her dog.
Oh my gosh. Well, in better news, besides the fact that I had a nightmare last night, I mean, it didn't last that long. I woke up and I was, you know, yeah. You know that feeling where you wake up and you go like, oh, thank God. Okay, it's over. It's over. You know,
totally.
This is reality.
Oh, it's a relief.
Yeah. And I was tired, but it's like I can sometimes slip back into a dream that I'm not enjoying if I don't like really stay awake for at least a few minutes and like really come back to like, okay, I'm on earth. I am lucid. I am not dreaming anymore. Mm-hmm. I know I'm in my bedroom and I know where the bathroom is. I could go to the kitchen, get some water. Everything's real now. I had to do that for a few minutes last night just because I'm like, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back to that dream.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It was all good. It was all good.
You have to like force yourself sometimes though, where you have to like, don't fall. Like open your eyes. Just open your eyes for a second so you can just not fall back in that dream. Those are really scary dreams.
They are because they're like pulling you. They're pulling you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Nightmare on Elm Street up in here. I've even explained that to people before, and they're like, I've never woken up from a dream and then fallen asleep and gone back to the dream. And I'm like, oh, I do that all the time. All the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Where I'm like, oh, I thought I was awake, but no, this is reality. But now I'm back in the dream. It's just, it's messed up, man.
It's pretty messed up.
But
talk about dreams for days.
I know, we really could. Because everybody loves hearing about other people's dreams. Boy, do they. On a happier note, besides, you know, a short nightmare I had last night, which, you know, I didn't die in my dream, so that's good. I am back on the health train, Heather. Now, I know I say this at least once a year. Sometimes I say it, you know, as a New Year's resolution. This year, because I had moved from up north, where I had lived in Sonoma County for, the better part of 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Down back down to LA, that was right before Christmas. you know, the New Year's resolution thing. I mean, we talked about it on the show, but, you know, I felt sort of like my resolution is to like get my house in order, you know, like everything was in so much disarray. It's like, I don't know. I got a long laundry list already. I don't need to like go too crazy here. And so that sort of came and went. And for a while, because when you're in a new neighborhood, I mean, of course I have my dogs, so it's like, I can't just not go on walks. At the absolute bare minimum, I'm walking a few miles a day because he has to, you know, anything less would be uncivilized. But but walking, and that's great, you know, it's great to walk and I enjoy walking and, you know, you get your steps in and that's great. It's not quite enough for me. It never really has been. I know for some people, it's like that's, you know, for whatever your exercise goals are, or, you know, maybe you got bad knees or whatever, you know, it's like walking is sort of, that's kind of what you got. And that's great.
Yeah.
That's totally great. And I sort of, you know, January kind of went by, February went by, March went by, and here we are, you know, at the beginning of April, I was kind of like, right, exactly. Yeah. Just time keeps on ticking. And, and right around, you know, the start of April, I'm kind of going like, yeah, I'm feeling soft, you know, and not like in a good way, you know, like I don't want to look like some jacked, crazy, you know, roided out person. Like, that's not what I'm going for. But, you know, I don't even really need
you don't need a perfect bikini body. It's like, we're not looking for perfection here.
Not looking for perfection. And I've never really had, I mean, even like at my like most sort of like, you know, muscly, I'm just not really a muscly person because I'm just small. You know, it's like I feel like I look better, but I'm not, I've never really had like, whoa, washboard, you know, I'm just small.
I think that looks, I'm not a big fan of that anyway.
Well, I mean, you, I don't know. It's a look, right? You know, it I at least go like, well, you're committed.
Yeah, exactly.
You have committed to the craft. But but I, you know, what I realized I was doing was, you know, and also, and this counts for a lot for me, is my neighborhood. I mean, I can drive lots of places that have hills in LA, but my neighborhood itself is pretty flat. I mean, there's some like rolling, kind of incline kind of stuff, but not like a true like hill slash small mountain. So walking a few miles, super easy, but you're not really getting the heart rate up, you know, the way I would if I was, you know, on a hike. And I like both, but I really like that hike feeling. You know, I want to, I don't have to run up the hill. In fact, I probably can't.
But yeah, hills help. Hills help make you feel like
they
you're
do.
Actually like
and
breaking
they just,
a sweat.
They activate different muscles. Even when you're going down a hill,
they do.
You know, you're activating different muscles. So a few months went by and I kind of just had to like have a come to Jesus with myself. Like, you're not a little kid anymore, you know, where you're just going to like burn off the energy by being alive. And also you're not, you know, in your 20s where you can kind of, you know, eat and drink whatever you want and nothing bad is going to happen. I mean, even in my 30s, really, that, you know, same idea. I've never, it's not so much a weight thing. It's a consistency thing. And Heather, you and I have talked about this recently. It's like, you know, and I was kind of like feeling defeated about that, like, but I've never had to do this before. So why do I have to do it now? And it's like, well, I mean, I also didn't used to wear contacts, but my eyes got worse over the last few years. And like, it's not the end of the world. You know, you make a little, make some tweaks, you know, do your makeup differently all of a sudden, you know, oh, that's a better color for me. It's a little bit more age appropriate. You know, all of that stuff is just stuff that you have to like be honest with yourself about. So for me, that's exercise, you know, and for me, that just means it doesn't, I'm not going crazy, but it's like, I've got some weights in one of my rooms. Haven't picked them up since I've moved. Well, let's start picking them up. You know, 10 minutes a day. That is so easy. So easy. And it makes a huge difference. I've got my VR workouts that I love. Did that yesterday. Felt awesome. First thing in the morning, hadn't even had coffee yet. You know, like these are things that I know. This is not rocket science. But it's so easy to forget how good it feels when you just say, just do it. Just do it.
It's so easy.
You know, like don't have a conversation with yourself about what time. Just do it.
And do it. Yeah. Like the Nike symbol. Right. You know, yeah. Nike logo.
You know, Nike, gosh, you really are onto something there. But but not just that. It's also, you know, it's exercise and of course it's diet. And I think you and I are both, you know, we're hippie kids and we love our veggies. But I'm going to try, you know, made a smoothie this morning. Haven't made a smoothie since I lived in this house.
Wow, nice.
You know, why? Don't know. But now I've got bananas on the shelf and we're doing it.
Well, I think it's that weather. It's that spring sort of.
That's part of it.
That mm-hmm. excitement you get in the spring. Everybody else has that. You have this verve to like make some tweaks and make, you know, get onto the health train. I've been making smoothies lately too because it's not as cold. Boy, do I make a mean smoothie. I am totally on the smoothie train. In fact, I get slightly, I don't know what the word is, but when I leave town for a week or two, I'm always like, ah, man, I miss my blender. Because sure, I can get a smoothie out, but like they're pretty pricey, you know, and I'd way rather just, you know, have my coffee and my smoothie at home.
Yeah. And you know, smoothies too, it's like if you go to like a certain sort of, you know, granola-y place where like you see like every ingredient and you watch them make it, you're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But otherwise, like smoothies often just have weird stuff in there where I'm like, this is too sugary. You actually don't, I don't want a sugary smoothie. Like the fruit already has sugar in it.
I agree. I'm very specific about what I like in my smoothies. And when you have someone else make it, it's never quite right. And then you're like, you feel a little cheated. But yeah. I think that's
and it was $8.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe even 10. I mean, especially if you're in LA. But yeah, the health train. It's funny that you are talking about this today. Again, Sarah and I don't really sync up on what we're going to talk about that often. We kind of like to surprise each other. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes there's like through lines to what we're each talking about. And this is definitely a theme for me right now. I was just telling a friend how, you know, I'm not fitting in my smallest jeans as well as I like to. I mean, I can put them on, but they're very uncomfortable. And this is not normal for me. I feel like I've gotten a little softer. I don't run anymore, which I've kind of noticed how when I used to run, my legs used to just be, I don't know, like thinner and leaner. It's not that I'm not overweight by any means, but I might have 5 or so extra pounds that make me feel like a sausage when I put on tight pants.
Yeah.
You know, and I also think, you know, again, like what you're saying about our bodies start to kind of slowly degrade and there's little tweaks you have to make, like work a little harder. I've always been an athletic person. I've always taken my exercise very seriously and I'm a motivated, disciplined, you know, exerciser. But I will say that I have to work harder. I can tell. I'm mm-hmm. doing more weights now too because gravity, you know, you're getting older, you're getting, you know, it's like things are a lot more against you now. And so you have to kind of work harder. And it's kind of a bummer because I feel like I've always worked kind of hard. I mean, I really have to work harder and I'm a little more tired, a little more, you know, sometimes it takes a little more motivation to get out and do stuff. So I hope I can keep it up in LA. I mean, maybe we could even go on a hike when I'm there with Otis because it'd be fun to go to Runyon or something.
He and I went to Elysian last week.
Nice. I would do that too.
It was so fun.
Let's do it. We should plan to do something like that. We can get a smoothie after. There's actually a good little smoothie shop.
There is. In fact, I was in there. That whole block. Anyway, Heather and I just, you know, we used to live right over where we're talking about. So it's slightly different now. It's like a little bit more like, I don't know. Like the Canyon Coffee is like very
hip. That place is pretty ridiculous. Yeah, that was the coffee shop I was talking about a few episodes back where I got like mm-hmm. a pistachio, like matcha or latte or something. And it was just so over the top. I was like, wow.
I got a regular coffee when I went in. I'm like, regular. And he's like, Americano. And I'm like, no, regular drip coffee.
They're like, huh? What?
What, yeah, they're always like, oh, about? Really? Oh, wow. Nobody ever asked for that. I'm like, I don't. Yeah.
And it's still $5.
I'm in a hurry, okay? I don't want to wait. It's like cocktails versus glass of wine. Like, just give me the easy thing, okay? I don't want to wait.
Totally. Totally. You know, actually, speaking of getting on the health train, Sarah, I was kind of thinking you would have insight into this, Sarah, because
All right.
you often take home and review products. You're also very tech savvy, and I'm sure that you read a lot of reviews.
Well, thank you for saying so. Yeah, I try.
And I, you know, I've done some product reviews. I mean, back in the day with Tech TV, I did like video game reviews. I would take something home here and there and review it.
Yeah.
I was a little bit more, a overarching producer running a show than doing like segments, but I did dabble in that and I enjoyed it. And, I do spend a lot of time, and I have mentioned this, ad nauseum on the show, that I do spend a lot of time sort of looking for the best, or like just trying to upgrade my life and read reviews, go down Reddit rabbit holes about everything, and just kind of getting other people's opinions about products to just, you know, I'm not going to pull the trigger until I feel really, really good about something, that I've really done my research.
Yeah. You've informed yourself.
It costs a pretty penny.
Yeah. You've done what you can.
Yeah. And I think that I think a lot of times for me, if I can glean a lot from my friends and the internet about products, I can glean enough to pull the trigger one way or another. I could glean, like maybe it's more negative and I'm like, you know, I talked myself out of it. I don't really want to get that, whatever it is. Or I was convinced because I read a really good wire cutter review on it. And it was like, okay, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, done. I'm going to buy this. You know, I've considered getting the Aura ring mm-hmm. off and on for a year. I'm definitely turned off by the price tag. That has been sort of a barrier of entry for me. And I just find there's a lot of, I feel like the ring is a little bit cloaked in mystery unless you try it yourself. And so I kind of thought, well, maybe I can make a decision finally, because it was kind of bugging me. I'm like, am I going to do this or not?
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that I kept thinking about every month or so. Like, should I just bite the bullet? And then I would read a review and it was like, you know, I would read a million reviews. I would go down a million Reddit, you know, rabbit holes. And still, you would get like a lot of great reviews. And then people who would be like, eh, not for me. Maybe a mix. I mean, maybe the most of them were mostly positive, but it wasn't enough for me to make a decision to get it. And I think my curiosity just got me this time. Mm. And I was near a Best Buy, which I normally am not. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to try it. I'll return it. I'll wear it for a few days. Maybe I'll return it. I don't know. And so again, I've talked to a lot of friends and like yoginis about their experiences. A lot of like my yoga friends wear them. And so I realized, I'm like, you know what? This time is different. It's so subjective, you know, like as something like this, you kind of can only go so far reading other people's experiences because it's going to be so personalized,
mm-hmm.
you know, everyone has their different reasons why they want to use it. I mean, there's different tracking. I'm sure a lot of you already know about this, but it's, you know, sleep tracking. It does kind of minimal like exercise tracking, kind of enough for me, but it does pretty detailed like sleep data, which I find fascinating. You know, it has a new kind of stress sensor, and then kind of helps you determine certain hormone periods like throughout the month. And I like analyzing data, and I know you do too, Sarah.
Yeah.
But I felt like there's no way I'll know if I will like it or not. Maybe it'll be a game changer. Maybe it'll be meh, you know? So I got it. I just picked it up, put it on my finger, and I immediately had remorse. I was like, why did I buy this?
Really?
It's just like another thing that I need to manage. Anyway, that feeling actually dissipated pretty quickly. I thought, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go return it. We're driving past Best Buy. I'll just go return it. No big deal, right? And then I downloaded the app and I slept with it and I looked at the data in the morning, I was kind of into it. I was like immediately like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to return it. I like this. Mm. And it was,
you just had to give it a chance.
Exactly. But there's no way I would have known unless I actually put one on my finger for 24 hours.
Right.
So it is a commitment. It's an investment purchase. But I'm kind of digging it. I'm kind of feeling like it's an exciting new toy. And I think that I have just scratched the surface with the data. I mean, it's going to take a little time for it to get to know me, but it is a neat piece of tech for sure. And I just think it's funny because I think I depend a little too much on gleaning from the world and the internet when it comes to making decisions about certain things. And like this time I'm like, you know what? I got to find out for myself, you know, whether I like it or not. So yeah, email us at havesuchagoodday.com if you've had similar experiences or if you love or hate the Aura Ring. I would totally listen to any story you have, good or bad, because I know it's all very subjective. But Sarah, I would think that maybe you would geek out on something like this.
I wear my Apple Watch to sleep, so it's just not something that I feel I need. Because I do care about tracking sleep data and data in general about, you know, activity, fitness, exercise. Did I meet my sleep goal, which I did last night, by the way, three times this week.
Oh, same. And two nights for me in a row.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I mean, sometimes you just can't help it. We were talking in Discord the other day, and what one of you Discorders, I won't out you because that's our private space, was like, I just consider it like, you know, it's like the time where I'm committing to that 8 hours. I totally agree with that. It's like, if I just say like, here's the, you know, okay, now I'm, you know, I'm in bed, I'm ready to sleep, and I'm giving myself until this time to get up, and that's 8 hours. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I can't sleep 8 hours, like, I did my best. I did my absolute best. Like, I'm not like in there on my computer, you know, I'm not, you know, dicking around, you know, I'm not pretending to sleep. I actually really want it. But I'm proud of you, Heather. I know how you feel about the review stuff. I'm kind of one of two purchasers. I'm an impulse shopper where it's like, it truly is like, it's like dopamine hits.
Totally.
You know, it, like almost like I can see probably more than any other addiction how somebody would develop a shopping addiction.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because it's like, even though it can be extremely unhealthy to not rein it in, it just feels so good briefly.
And you're like, I don't care. Fuck it.
Yeah. Like, I just, like, no, I don't even want to think about it. I'm just going to do it. And then it's over and I did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
And
exactly.
So it's like, I'm sometimes that person. I try not to be because, you know, I'm on a budget.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, got to admit it. But then I'm also like the waffler who can't buy a fucking duvet cover.
Yeah. I know.
Because I'm just like, I just want the best one. And then I start to get into this weird scenario. Like, I have a queen size bed right now, but I'm like, but do I want to buy like, because like a nice duvet cover, I mean, you could get a nice duvet cover that isn't like crazy expensive, but like they tend to be kind of pricey, you know, for something really nice that's going to last a long time. My duvet cover is literally falling apart. Like it's like tearing. So I have a really good excuse. I need one. I'm not just being silly.
Are you spying on me today, Sarah? Because that is literally what I did today is my
duvet cover
is 15 years old. I no joke. I think I bought it in the first like stage of like living in LA, and it was so thin because it was so like rubbed down. It was linen, and it was so rubbed down that it started ripping because it just got so thin at the top.
Yeah.
And my housekeeper was like, she kind of came into my office last week, and she's like, I think you should consider getting a new. This is like really falling apart. And I was like, okay. So I went online and, you know, I mean, you and I talk about linen sheets all the time.
Yep.
And I'm like, I definitely want another linen. I actually was just going to get the same exact one because whatever, I don't care. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, again, it's like sometimes there's too many options and then you're comparing and contrasting and there's the brick linen and then there's the quince and they're the blah, blah, blah. And I did a lot of comparisons and I got one for like $150 and a lot of the other ones were like you know, closer to $300. And I decided to go with I think it's the quince one. I just thought it was good enough. I mean, it had great reviews. I thought it was a good price.
Well, and the truth is, lots of people care about bedding and it's a very personal situation, you know, like what kind of bed do you want to sleep on? What kind of sheets do you want? Do you even want a duvet cover? Do you want a blanket in between the sheets and the duvet cover? Do you want some other, you know, quilt type thing or none at all? You know, it's like everybody's different. I feel like you can kind of get away with a duvet cover that's not like as luxurious because you will have sheets in between. I mean, some people don't use a top sheet, which I just, I can't deal with that in my life. But I know that some people don't, and that's fine. As long as you're washing the duvet cover all the time, what does it matter? Mm-hmm. But I do. So the sheets are a little bit more important to me. But then now you get to the situation, because Heather, this is where I start to go insane. Is like, I'm like, okay, you know, I need it. I, you know, my duvet cover is falling apart. For some reason, I used to have a backup, and like, who even knows where that went? It's like not in my house anymore. I don't know how a duvet cover walks away, but so it goes. But then I'm like, but what if I like get a king size bed? So it's like, now I've got this like nice duvet cover that's just going to sit in a box or a drawer. And, but I'm like, but I'm not doing that. But what if I do though, Sarah? What if I do?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy making. It really is. Well, today it took three adults to put the new duvet cover on. But I will say, we also took the flannel sheets off from the last 6 months we've been using. Well, I mean, we've washed them many times in between.
Yeah.
But it's time for a lighter sheet. So I put on my set of linen, and then we put the new linen duvet on. And Sarah, I was like, I almost wanted to just, I'm like, I'm just going to get to bed right now.
get in there. I'm going to figure out a way to take a nap for a while.
Yes. Because it looks so crisp and beautiful. I just, and honestly, I'm a little bit like stressed about leaving town for like almost 2 weeks because I get to sleep in that crisp new bed for like one night until I leave. And then I'm going to miss it so much.
You're going to survive. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. Well, so I wanted to talk about this. This is a really fun story we were talking about on DTNS, actually Good Day Internet, for those of you who are patrons and listen to our extended show. And it's just like great fodder for us. And it's the idea of physical versus digital items that you own. So, you know, you might own a digital album, music album. You know, like I'm not talking about streaming because we know we don't own that those
we're
files.
Analog, like all like Elijah's DVD collection, his Blu-rays.
Right. Like, yeah. Like they are on a shelf or they're in a box where they can be picked up. You can, you know, put them in a bag, you know, they're tangible. And then you've got, you know, maybe digital backups of those. You own those. But, or just, you know, it's just digital. You know, you never bought a book. You bought the audiobook. And, you know, so the audiobook's, you know, it's going to stay on your Kindle or wherever. It's not going away. You bought it. And don't have to return it to the library type thing. Mm-hmm. But this woman who is, let me pull up her name because I want to give her credit for this. Her name is Rebecca Martin, who works at Cardiff University. She's a reader in marketing and published this really interesting article, long, I mean, lots of details in there, that focuses on why a lot of people that she interviewed, like she interviewed 25 people over a 7-year period. Uh-huh. So, I mean, this is like kind of a long research project.
Sure.
And kind of based on what everybody said and how the attitudes changed over that 7-year period is that there were like a few takeaways, restrictions, meaning, you know, like you said, Elijah's DVD collection. If you don't have the DVD, you can't touch them. I mean, how often are you petting your DVD's, you know, front cover? Like, I mean, no one's really doing that, but there is something there. It's a thing.
But they're searching,
you know, you open
them,
it up, there's the disc inside type thing.
Yeah. And there's ways you organize them. It's kind of like High Fidelity when he would change his record collection, like organize them through like, you know, year or by like, life experience or memory.
Right. Yeah. Or genre. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So something that isn't physical, you know, a digital version of that is organized by software in some capacity. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe it organizes that software in a great way. And you're like, this is so nice and tidy, but it's different.
Mm-hmm. It's very different.
Then you've got what she calls instability. And that is where you get into things like DRM and, you know, a company, you know, changing, you know, that Kindle book that you own, like, what if one day the cover was different? I mean, maybe that bothers you, maybe it doesn't, but it's not under your control. That book on your bookshelf, I mean, unless it like you throw it away, it just will look like it looks.
Yeah, exactly. And then there'll be a new version of it, you know, every so many years, it'll be more updated looking.
In fact, have you ever had like, I don't know, some beloved book, right? And maybe a movie comes out, you know, that, you know, based on the book, and then you see that book at a bookstore and it's a different cover because it's based on the characters in the movie. And you're like, no fucking way. Why did they do that?
Yeah. And then I don't want to buy it because I want the original artwork that isn't movie footage.
Right.
Because it takes me out of my imagination.
Right. You know? But like if you had bought the book for the first time post movie, maybe you wouldn't care because that's the cover that you bought.
Yes.
You know?
Totally.
So there's that. So there's that kind of thing.
Associations.
Yeah. And then the last part of this, the study, you know, that she came away from this was the invisibility part of it. So it's not just like you don't touch the book, but it's more of like you don't interact with it. It's not part of your home.
Totally.
You know, it doesn't like give color to your bookcase or your wall. You don't have friends over and kind of go like, hey, why don't you pick something out? It's like, there's so much to, you know, pictures on the wall. Like I have like, I don't know how many thousands of pictures in my iPhone, but a lot. And I mean,
it's a conversation piece.
There's like maybe I have like one collage of Instagram pictures that I printed out some years ago and I have on my wall now. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it's like, I just stopped trying. Because I'm like, they're accessible, but they're not somewhere that I enjoy on a regular basis. They can be called up, but they're not part of like my everyday existence the way some of my really old, I mean, my artwork is, I haven't bought a new piece of anything in a really long time. I mean, the stuff I still have held on to, I like, but it's like, that's real stuff to me that I look at all the time. And I feel like makes me feel, I don't know, like, life is normal.
Absolutely. No, this is fascinating. I'm totally going to read this article and pass it along. I think this kind of stuff I love thinking about. And yeah, I mean, I like I've said many times on the show, I have, Elijah has made me appreciate analog media so much more because of how tenacious he is with his collection. And yeah, he doesn't fondle it or anything, but it's fun. Like he gets DVDs in the mail all the time. Like every other day he gets a box because he works for all these distribution companies. And so they send him all their movies. And that, I mean, that's part of why he has such a big collection. But then he'll go to Amoeba and sell back ones that he doesn't like. You know, he'll keep, even if they're not masterpieces, he'll keep them if he enjoyed it for a certain reason. But then he's just like, if this is just, I don't like this at all, he gets rid of it. So he has a really good curated collection. And yeah, and I like going up there sometimes and actually, you know, flipping through them because he has them organized in genre and by distribution company. And, you know, he has to have a way to find something. You know, if I'm like, let's watch The Omen, the original Omen, he has to know where that is. I mean, he has a very big collection. So it's not like you could just at a glance be like, there it is. Like you kind of have to know where things are. And it's fun. It's fun to have that. It takes over a whole room. It's the vibe of the room, you know? And I feel the same way about our living room. We have all of our books up there. I've got a lot of my dad's books. I've got my books, Elijah's books. And a lot of times if I have like sort of a casual weekend and I'm sort of puttering around, I'll go and pull a book off the shelf. Like, oh, I remember reading this. You know, I remember this. God, this book meant so much to me back in blah, blah, blah. And you maybe wouldn't have those experiences if you didn't have physical, you know, physical books on, in your house. So I think there's a lot to unpack here. I think this is a really fascinating subject. Yeah, it's funny. I was actually talking to my housekeeper this morning about how, as we've gotten older, because she just left on a trip and she was kind of telling me that, you know, she felt kind of excited for the trip, but then anxious to leave home because home is just like cozy and it's your place. And it's like, why is it that we get so attached to home? And I think part of, you know, your things, the things that you curate, that you love to look at, that are beautiful to you and very special and personal to you, it's wonderful to be surrounded by that. It's like, it's your world. And I think I have curated my little house and I feel very at home here. It's my little sanctuary. And so I do get like slightly anxious about being away for too long. Like, what if there's an earthquake and my house falls off the cliff and I never get to see it again? I mean, irrational thoughts like that.
Right.
But yeah, speaking of that, I'm just breezing into town from a long weekend in Petaluma. You and I were chatting a little bit over the weekend, Sarah, but we had a little bit of a family reunion of sorts. And it was something that my sister and I planned like 6 months ago. My dad used to do these things that he called sibins, like sibling inns, where he gets together with his, he had like six siblings, brothers and sisters, and he would get together with them once a year and they would pick a different city or a different state or whatever. And they would stay in a slew of hotel rooms or whatever it is, houses, and all get together and eat and walk and drink and hang out and talk. And so we decided to just revive it. You know, it's not necessarily a sibin anymore. It's more of a little family, an annual family trip. And we were a little stressed about it because, you know, family's family and there's usually political differences and potential landmines. And so we were leading up to it. We were definitely worried. But it ended up being very nice, and it was a surprisingly pleasant experience. There was really no drama. It was chill and fun, and we broke bread and drank together and walked, you know, did some hiking. And it's funny how, like, as much as life throws curveballs, and I hope we're not too negative about it on the show, because I think we get kind of in these funks, you know, on a day, you know, that we record and we kind of talk about the curveballs a lot. Well, I'd like to just, you know, call out that the universe can do really great things and surprise you in positive ways also. Whatever the opposite of a curveball is, maybe like a pleasant surprise, if you will. Anyway, so I'm back for 36 hours or so. I'm just editing my suitcase. I basically threw my suitcase on the bed and I'm editing it, doing some laundry, and then I'm heading to La La Land tomorrow. Not super stoked. I only have a day. But I guess right now I'm married to the road, Sarah. For now, at least.
You know, you say that, Heather, and you travel more than anyone I know.
I do have to pop out. I think, honestly, if I weren't living such a bucolic life up here, I might not be on the road as much. I do love to travel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, me too. You're good at it.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I really do struggle with that feeling. And this never happened to me in my 30s. I traveled a ton for work. Never had this feeling of this. Maybe it's because my animals, I'm very attached to them and I feel really pulled away from them and I miss them when I'm gone. And I feel a little bit more attached to my home. And so it's this weird push and pull. It's like really positive because I am so excited to leave town, but I'm also like, I don't want to leave town. I don't want to leave home. You know, it's like this, it's a contradiction. But anyway, I am excited. This trip has high excitement potential. I'm going to be back in the production saddle with this documentary project. We're shooting a bunch of interviews with artists in LA and Joshua Tree, and going to see the movie that I did a year or so ago. And hopefully, Sarah, you'll be sitting next to me or near me and seeing friends, making new ones, hopefully. And yeah, let us know. I'm actually curious how y'all feel. I know you guys are all big travelers. I know some of the people in Discord were even talking today about just getting back from a trip. Let us know how you feel leaving home. Do you, you no looking back, you're just so excited to pack your suitcase and get out of Dodge, or do you struggle with what I'm talking about, sort of being pulled in different directions? Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Indeed. Well said. Yes, I very much hope to, you know, even if I don't even know if the movie, that showing that you're going to is sold out. But as soon as we as soon as we get off the Horton here, I will do my best. And either way, we'll definitely hug and hike while you're here. Yes. We'll figure that out and it's gonna be fun. Sure. But what we did want to do, because it doesn't happen every week, although we sure would like it to, is say hello to a brand new patron. And that patron this week is Stuart. Stuart, you're the man.
I actually think Stuart is an upgraded patron. He may not be new, but he's...
You're new in my heart, Stuart, but thank you for thank you for the bump. Actually, Heather, I think you're right. I think you are right.
I think
Stuart
right.
gave us yeah. a little bit of a bump, and we are bumping fists in solidarity with you, Stuart, whether you're a mouse or a man or something in between. I used to love Stuart Little, one of my favorite kids' books.
Oh, I love Stuart Little.
Just so cute so with good. His little outfit. Gosh, you put a mouse in an outfit, I'm happy.
So y'all, send us a message, anything at all. We just desperately want to hear from you. Hi at haveSuchAGoodDay.com.
Yes, do. Please email us early and often. Also, thank you to all of our patrons. Patreon.com/HaveSuchAGoodDay is where you can find out more about becoming a patron like Stuart and all the wonderful people who support us show after show. We couldn't do without you. We really couldn't. Nope. We're a small show. We'd love to be, you know, selling out Taylor Swift like arenas someday. But until we Could get to that point, until we get to that point, you know, tell a friend, you know, anybody you think would enjoy the show, any subscribe, new subscriber, you know, even the free subscribers, you know, you can always get the show for free. We're never going to change that. But we are directly supported by our patrons, and we thank you so much. Again, patreon.com/havesuchagoodday to find out more about becoming a patron.
And one more thing before we wrap up here is the truth of the matter is that if we do get more patrons and we do get as big as Taylor Swift, we would do more. We could do daily shows. We could do specials. We could get back on camera. So there's a lot of options here.
Yeah.
So yes, definitely join us. We'd love to have you. And in the meantime, please stay sexy, stay weird, and I will be Heather forever.
And I will be Sarah, much as I sometimes I'm annoyed by my name. It's... I'm gonna die with it, all right?
Peace and love, y'all.
Have a wonderful week. Have such a good day.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.